You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Hey, hey, how you doing? This is another episode of the Ask Patricia Show. How you doing there, Danielle?
I'm not doing too badly. Thank you very much, Patricia. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Really looking forward to the shows that we've got this month. In fact, I want to say to our listeners, have you ever heard the expression, "You're playing small does not serve the world"? Or even, "If you let your light shine, you give others permission to do the same." Or what about this one? "If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well." Well, if you subscribe to any of those theories, this show is for you. You know, the Ask Patricia Show is here to help you live your best life right now, not tomorrow, but right now. And the whole of September, we have dedicated to all of you who want to be a tall poppy. In other words, you want to stand out. You don't just want to fit in. You want to be a leader rather than a follower. To be an influencer rather than somebody who's easily led. So if you are perhaps a solopreneur stepping out on your own, or a business executive within a company and you want to get to the top, or if you're just someone who's thinking about creating personal success and wanting to play a bigger game in life, this show is for you. And I've got two excellent professionals on the show. First of all, I've got coming up, Danielle. I'm already excited. I'm leaving Danielle completely out of it.
I know, right? I can tell she's sucking out all the joy.
What can I say? I've got the amazing Jo Miller, who's joining us all the way from California. And she's a leading authority on how to break into positions of influence. Even if you are in a male dominated industry such as energy or technology, finance, etc., she can show you how to be a person of influence, and she'll give you some keys how to be a go-to person within your field. Now that's pretty good, Danielle. Yeah,
I know, it sounds quite jam-packed there.
It's pretty jam-packed. And if that wasn't enough, we've got the business detective herself and the curator of the top 100 list most influential black people in digital and social media. It's Ola Agbemone. So she's a lady who can tell you ways to reinvent yourself, even if everyone else is telling you that you're over the hill and that you're past it. Yeah, don't give up. Ola Agbemone will show you how. So Danielle, lots of value today.
I know, right? Gosh, I'm almost stunned. I'm thinking, how are we going to fit this into 1 hour?
I know. But we're going to do our best. Now, did any of those things stand out at all? Any particular element of that you're waiting for desperately? You've got your notebook waiting?
I think most of it. All of it sounds, if you're listening to this now, I mean, where do you start, really?
I mean,
if you're listening to it, you obviously want to know, what our guests are going to be telling you. But for me, I think I'm more interested in how I can make myself stand out from everybody else, and what my USB could be, my unique selling point could be with my talent. So, I'm really interested to hear what our guests have to say, really.
Absolutely. Well, so am I. So stay tuned. It's the Ask Patricia Show. Don't go anywhere.
When I signed my deal, I felt pressure. Don't wanna see the numbers, I wanna see heaven. You say, could you write a song for me? I say, I'm sorry, I won't do that happily. When I go home, I tend to close the door. I never want to know. So sing with me, can't you see? I don't have. Please don't get me wrong, I wanna keep it moving. I know what that requires, I'm not foolish. Please can you make this work for me? Cause I'm not a puppet, I will work against your strings. When I go home, I tend to close the door. I never want to know. So sing with me, can't you see I don't have. I don't have money on my mind. I do it on my mind. No money on my mind. No money on my mind. No, I have no money on my mind. When the sun set, don't you fret. No, I have no money on my mind. No money on my mind. No money on my mind. No, I have no money on my mind. Just love.
Sam Smith there, doing it all for the love. Well, I did give a great introduction at the top of the show to my next guest, fantastic Joe Miller. But let me take a moment and just tell you a little bit about Joe. She is a leading authority on how to break into positions of influence, even male-dominated industries such as energy, technology, finance. And today she's going to give us keys on how to become a go-to person in your field. You can find her. She's a founding editor of BeLeaderly.com, CEO of Women's Leadership Coaching, and the creator of the Women's Leadership Coaching System, which is a roadmap for women who want to break into leadership positions in business. Jo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patricia. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah, well, it's a joy to have somebody of your calendar. And let me just introduce my co-host, the lovely Danielle Drama.
Hello there, Jo.
Hi there.
Nice to have you today.
Yeah, listen there, Jo. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, perhaps you'd just like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Yes, certainly. Well, you know, the first thing you'll probably notice about me is my accent.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Actually, here's a little about myself. I grew up in Australia and then lived in California for 10 years.
So is that right?
The accent you hear today is Australifornian. Now based in Cedar Rapids in Iowa in the middle of the American Midwest. So who knows, one day it will be Australifornian Iowan. I consider myself to be the unique distinction of being the only Australian women's leadership coach in Iowa until anyone advises me otherwise. But
yes.
I've been doing this for 15 years now and started out doing a lot of one-on-one individual coaching for what I call emerging women leaders, you know, early career and mid-level women who wanted to break into that next level of leadership in their career.
Indeed.
Started to notice a lot of common threads in the challenges they were dealing with. So my research really identified what were the common challenges women faced when they wanted to advance and step up into a bigger role.
Interesting.
And then also, what are some of the ways to overcome those roadblocks and move ahead? So now I travel around North America and sometimes around the world teaching workshops and keynotes and webinars about how to break through those roadblocks and your career.
Absolutely. That sounds very, very inspiring. I'm thinking, what was it, although you saw the need, what was it that gave you the sort of inspiration or the confidence even to step out and actually meet that need?
You know, part of it was it resonated with my own experience. So way, way back before I became a corporate escapee, I was in a corporate job myself and really had this burning ambition to advance and be a leader, but there was no book or roadmap to follow. And finally it dawned on me, well, you know, someone better create one. And gosh, it might as well be me. But over time, what sustained me through all of this work I've done is just seeing the caliber of women who are like the best kept secret in their organizations, you know, just waiting for a chance to step out and show what they can do.
Yeah, amazing, fantastic. Well, you're exactly the kind of person we need on the show, because that's kind of the dynamic and the demographic of our audience. So what I'm going to ask you, the first question I'm going to put is, if I'm in my field and I'm busily being great at what I do, but I'm wanting to stand out, you know, because you could be doing well, but other people can be doing well. How can I stand out and be seen as a leader?
You know, my first piece of advice is not to wait for someone to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, it's your moment, you get to be a leader now. What I see is a lot of women, you know, working hard, delivering incredible results to their organization, you know, just doing a phenomenal job, but they're waiting for someone to come recognize them and invite them in to take a seat at the table or a promotion. But, you know, you know, the business world being what it is, you can't afford to wait for those things to happen.
Right.
So you really need to take charge of your career trajectory and be in the driver's seat and set your goals and start acting the part. So act as if you're already there.
Okay.
A great quote from Mighty Aponte that I heard recently is, if you don't have a seat at the table, you need to bring your own chair. Don't wait to be invited in. You really need to speak up. Share your career goals, because if you don't declare that interest in being developed as a leader, your management's going to make career choices for you and you know, likely to be not the ones you want for yourself.
Yeah. Do you know, I really think that's such a great point, because we do think that if we work really hard and we do a great job, that people will see what we're doing and be impressed and naturally suggest us for promotion. But it doesn't seem to work like that.
No, the corporate world doesn't work that way. In fact, I'll tell a quick story. I was speaking with a woman recently, a junior level executive who was so excited to get promoted into her current director level role.
Right.
And after about 6 months, she got the courage up to go to her boss and say, you know what, I want to throw my hat in the ring to be in this succession plan because I want your job one day. And her boss turned to her and said, that's great, but your 5 male colleagues have already come to me and said the same thing a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
That's the peril of waiting to declare our ambition and goals.
Yeah. What is it? Is it a particularly female trait? I mean, what is it? Why is it all the guys had put themselves forward, but that woman who clearly was just as talented, that she hadn't thought of doing so?
You know, I think somehow we're just wired to believe that the workplace is a meritocracy.
Right.
You know, in school and in university, if you work hard and get good grades, you will be recognized and rewarded.
Yes.
And yet anyone that's spent more than, say, a few months in the corporate world knows that that's not the way that it works. And yet we still keep working hard and believing that that merit will get us recognized.
I know.
Interesting statistic I'll share. So HP did an internal study a few years ago where they found that women will apply for a next level job when they think they meet 100% of the criteria.
Right.
But their male peers will apply when they meet about 60%. So flat out every time. And you start to see that one of the reasons that we lack women in those senior level roles, we're just waiting too long to feel like we're ready.
Yes, yeah. That's such a great point. I'm thinking, you know, as a coach myself, I remember a young lady that I was coaching, and she was a little bit frustrated with her role. And it was so interesting because she would say, I asked her about her, she'd done a degree. So I asked her what her grade was. And she said, oh, you know, I did quite well. I said, oh, quite well. What does quite well look like? And she actually passed with a first, with merit. And I thought, well, why don't you actually say that this is what you've done? But she's thinking, well, I don't want to appear to be as if I'm blowing my own trumpet. But it looks as though we kind of need to.
Yeah, indeed. Some, you know, sometimes we're just not in that role of our own best advocate. But honestly, in the workplace, who else is going to do it for you?
So absolutely.
You need to find ways to feel comfortable tooting your own horn, so to speak.
Yes, I absolutely agree. All right, so let's say then that we're getting the picture. We're understanding. So what about then getting our voice heard, so to speak? Is that kind of the same thing?
Yeah. And so I think to have your voice be heard, it takes this constant mindset of just reminding yourself that you have an important impact to make. You have something worthwhile to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I recommend is, you know, when you walk into a room and into a meeting, for example, or join a teleconference, I will see women waiting to be called on, but you can't afford to do that because, as you know, rarely ever does someone invite you into a conversation, but rather you need to show up early, speak up, greet people as they arrive to establish that one-on-one rapport, get a comfort level with who else is in the room or on that call, and bring your talking points prepared ahead of time and challenge yourself to speak up in the first 2 minutes of that meeting.
Wow.
Because then you've established a voice in the room.
Yes.
And it's so much easier to do that than try and break in later. You notice that pause, that invitation to speak up really ever comes. So come prepared with the expectation that you will speak up, have your talking points ready to go,
yes,
and don't wait to be invited in.
So really, Jo, would you say it's more about making a positive impact straight away rather than, like you say, waiting for somebody to invite you and, you know, welcome you, but actually making yourself feel welcome, so to speak, and making sure that you have that right amount of confidence to you know, speak up for yourself and make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can to actually to make that influence on people. I mean, would you say that confidence is a huge factor as well?
No, I think so. And of course, not everyone has that confidence right out of the gate. You've heard the phrase, fake it till you make it. And
that's right.
When it comes to establishing influence, I'm reminded of this phrase, our behaviour teaches people how to treat us.
Oh, right.
You know, so if you walk in the room acting like, oh, I don't really belong here, and I'm going to sit silently in the back of the room and wait for permission to speak up, well, don't be surprised if you accidentally train everyone to overlook you and treat you like you're invisible. But if you walk in the room, even if you're faking it, you know, with that sort of that posture of credibility and authority and leadership and influence, over time, people don't know the difference. You'll train them to look to you for your leadership and influence.
Interesting.
If you walk in the room with that confidence to begin with.
Yeah, really great points. All right there, Jo, we've got to go to a quick break, but there's so much more that I've got to ask you. So stay there and don't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Wake up one morning, you realize your life is one big compromise. Compromise. Stuck in the job you swore was only temporary. Is passing you by. Never done all the things you will need to try. Stuck in one place, got a pain in your face from all your stressing out.
All your stressing out.
And you ask yourself, there's got to be more than what I'm living for.
Oh,
That's Laura Isibor there telling us it's time to shine. And yes, it is. And we're helping you to shine here on today's Ask Patricia show. And I've got Jo Miller with me, founding editor of BeLeaderly.com. Now, Jo, I want to ask you this question. Let's say you're doing a great job out there and people are beginning to look to you. They recognize you're someone to take notice of. Now, I've heard that if you want to succeed, that it's very important, you know, to learn to collaborate and work with other people. Now, if you're wanting to get not the leftovers, but you really want some interesting, worthwhile projects, what can you do to kind of position yourself for those great collaborations?
You know, great question. and in fact, I'll share a statistic. So back in 2003, the Catalyst Organization did a report, looked into what were the factors that helped senior level women get into the roles that they're in, and a whopping 40% of them that are in corporate leadership positions said that seeking out the difficult and highly visible assignments had been a really important advancement strategy.
Really?
So going after those high caliber projects or collaborating with other advocates and influencers is a really great way to showcase your next level of skills.
Wow.
However, here's the catch. I think doing this well is about as much about what you say no to as well as you say yes to. So one of the pitfalls is saying yes to an assignment that doesn't showcase the next level skills you want people to see in you. You know, so it's about you take on an assignment that just buries you under low-level tasks that don't stretch you and challenge you to build your skills, and also don't show people that you're capable of more.
Wow.
So you need to look for those next level assignments, be it a role or something you volunteer for,
mm-hmm.
that showcase your higher level leadership skills. That's one thing to look for.
Yes.
So it's got to really align with the brand that you've set for yourself.
Okay.
And it's also got to clearly show that you have the ability to deliver valuable bottom line results to the organization. So make sure it allows you to deliver a valuable, measurable result so you can really speak to the impact. But also give you a forum to promote and showcase those accomplishments, because if it's no visibility, well, why are you even bothering? And so one of the keys is to be kind of ruthless, but at the same time very diplomatic about what you say no to. And you know, maybe you say yes this time, but look, here's what I want to work on next, and clearly articulate the type of role or special project you want puts you in the spotlight, but also allows you to collaborate with people who are influencers and movers and shakers.
Oh, wow. That is such great advice. I'm busy writing that one down there, Jo. I'm thinking, well, with that particular one, let's say it ticks the boxes, but it doesn't pay you. There's no monetary compensation. Should we still pursue it?
Hey, look, that's a really great question. And of course, there will be phases in a woman's life where taking on the hard work, no pay project just is not a good fit. So I always say, come back to your goal. You know, what are you hoping to achieve here? Is this a time in your life when family and home life and balance is critically important?
Right.
So you might want to step off the, you know, the gas for a moment, as we like to say in the US. And, but if your primary goal right now is that advancement, showcasing your leadership skills, and of course, be very careful and selective in what you take on.
Right.
But you may at points in time really go for it, put in the extra effort, raise your hand, you know, work the long hours and the late nights.
Right.
But then when this project comes to a conclusion, ease off, regroup, refocus, renew before you go out for it again. And so again, the key here is being so selective in what you take on. Make sure it really is going to be a great career builder for you.
Right. Okay. So lots of discretion needed. Well, the final question I wanted to ask is kind of a three-parter really. But let's say we've got a brand and we're quite clear on who we are, who we're trying to reach, what we're about. Are there any mistakes, or let me say, what are the top three mistakes that we should avoid doing, avoid making, if we really want the brand that we are establishing, if we want to grow it, what should we avoid?
Hey, it's a great question, because of course you've put all this effort into
building
a great career and a brand.
That's
so
right.
So you don't want to inadvertently fall into a misstep or pitfall that holds you back or kind of damages this great career capital that,
absolutely,
that you've built.
Yes.
So I think one of the top things to be really aware of is, you need to have a positive and effective way to navigate office politics.
Okay, yes.
And by the way, this is something, you know, when the topic of office politics comes up, most women tend to shy away and
say, I don't want to play the game.
That's not me. In fact, when I surveyed over 100 women in a high-tech company last year and I said, how many of you feel like you have a positive and effective way to navigate office politics?
Uh-huh.
You know how many of them strongly agreed?
Oh, gosh. Was it very
zero.
Low?
Zero.
Zero percent.
And yet avoiding office politics can be a real career killer. So you've got to find a way to be a great networker, do it with sincerity, build your social astuteness, and have a way to play the game in a positive way and not shy away. So that's probably the top one. You know, the top way to damage your brand is to sort of have it be killed by the office power play.
Right.
The next one is, and studies will bear this out, high potential women underestimate the difference that a great sponsor can make in your career.
Okay.
And of course, a sponsor is that senior level leader who advocates for you and opens doors for you, connects you with opportunities, and really puts their own reputation on the line for you. So you really must, you know, not just spend 100% of your time working and getting your job done, but take time to step away and network and build great relationships with influential senior-level people who can put your name forward for coveted assignments.
Right.
For sponsors, having sponsors and even peer-level advocates who might advocate for you is a big one too.
Yeah.
And then I think just the final trap is, you know, don't spend 100% of your time with your head down getting your work done.
Right.
You've got to step away from time to time and find appropriate and effective ways to toot your own horn, showcase your accomplishments. Or else you'll be that best kept secret in the
office. Which is what we're trying to avoid here. We don't want to be a secret. Oh my gosh, well, such great advice, and I know that our listeners are taking away such value from the things you're saying. Now, people listening that just come across you for the first time, is there anything that you can offer in the sense of a website or maybe online information? Where can they find out more about you, Jo?
Well, for anyone who wants to lead and climb and thrive as a rising woman of influence, I think the perfect place to start is at our blog website, and that is Be Leaderly, so BeLeaderly.com, where we've got articles and advice and videos and slideshows all around how to lead, climb and thrive and be that up-and-coming woman of influence in your organization.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I mean, that sounds like a really powerful resource there.
Thank you.
I'm going to be on it as soon as the show's over, Jo. let me just say thank you so much again for joining me on today's Arts Patricia show. And wishing you just continued success, Jo.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure speaking with both of you today.
Yeah, Jo, I'm actually still taking in all of that. I'm literally sitting here thinking, do you know what? These are fantastic ideas. I'm going to have to, you know, take them and nurture them for myself. So thank you so much, Jo, for sharing, you know, all your wisdom and your experience here with your own skills. It's really, really been helpful for me, especially.
That's great. You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jo. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, if you're like me, Danielle, I feel as if I've got like a masterclass there.
In like under 20 minutes.
I know. Amazing. Well, this is the Arts Patricia Show and we are here to help you live your best life right now.
Will you read?
Sunday there with Heaven. All right, well, we're back. It's the Ask Patricia Show, and it's me, your host, Patricia Benjamin, alongside Daniel Drama here. Hope you're loving the show. So much content, so much value. Well, I've got another young lady here, another excellent professional, the business detective herself, and the curator of the top 100 most influential black people on digital and social media, Ola Agbemone. Ola, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Patricia. Thank you. And thank you for describing me as young.
That's always a good thing. I know I can't lose if I say that.
Absolutely.
Listen, my love, how are you doing?
I'm fine. No, I'm good. I'm good. A bit tired. But
okay.
I'm good.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, looking forward to having great conversation with you. And what we want to do today, of course, is inspire and encourage people, because we started at the top of the show. I'm sure you've heard the saying, Ola, you know, that if we don't shine our light, you know, other people don't have permission to shine theirs. And playing small does not serve the world. So we don't want to play small anymore. We want to go out there and play a bigger game. And I know you're the young lady to help us do so. But very often, Ola, when we want to step out and be a tall poppy and step out, put our head above the parapet, sometimes, you know, what raises the head are the limiting beliefs, the things that get in the way. You know, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I haven't got enough money, I don't know enough. We do like to get in our own way. So I'm really hoping that you can help us give ourselves a bit of a kick start if we have been getting in our own way.
Yes, yeah, it's so easy to get in your own way, especially since other people get in your way too.
That never helps.
It never helps, and we can't underestimate the fact that some people actually do get in your way, and all they do is reinforce yourself getting in your way. So you can have this kind of virtuous storm both of you just obstructing you and feeding that fear. And
yes.
It is fear.
Yes.
It really is fear that kind of stops us. And within the realms of possibility, because obviously, you know, we can't deny that some people are limited by their physical environment and their physical capabilities.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't say to someone with no legs,
yes,
walk across a desert without aids. You know,
yes.
Obviously, we've got
it's
to
not
take
gonna
a
happen.
Small physiology.
Yes.
But apart from that, what does tend to be our biggest, most limiting factor is our own mindset, how we're thinking about things, where we're starting from.
Yes.
And if you start with the word can't in your head,
right,
that's all your head is going to look for. It's going to look for the reasons why you can't, because that's what you've asked for.
Yes.
And you don't, I think a lot of people think they have to have the solution before they think, I can.
Oh, interesting. Is that right?
No,
now, why did you say that? Because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so I don't need to know the answer?
No, you don't. You really don't need to know the answer.
Really?
You just need to believe that you can and
okay.
that there is an answer out there.
Oh.
So, you know, so what tends to limit most people is, they start with the belief that they can't,
right.
and then they find all the reasons why they think they can't.
And reinforce it, yeah.
Yeah. It's lack of information, lack of knowledge. Maybe they think they've got the lack of skill or lack of the strategy. They actually literally don't know how they're going to do it or how it can be achieved.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the wrong place to start.
Yeah.
The right place to start is with the word, I can.
Right.
And just the belief that you can. I'm not saying that's the only thing you need to do, because obviously you just sit there and say, I can.
You know, that's not helpful.
Unless you're magic.
Let me just ask my co-host Danielle here. When Ola mentioned about the fear, you know, because being a coach myself, you know, we do say fear is one of the things that holds us back. Is that something that surprises you, or you think, yeah, do you know what? Fear is a big deal.
I agree totally. I mean, fear is, it's the enemy, isn't it? I think fear, and not even in just professionalism, we fear a lot of things, you know, fear of rejection in our, you know, day-to-day lives. It could be with our friends, relationships, you know, and work as well. So
that's
fear,
right.
Yeah, it's like the number one public enemy, I think, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And how to overcome that is the biggest question. It's like,
I think
how
one
do
of
I
the
start?
Fears is like maybe fear of failure as well.
Yeah, that's also a huge, huge factor. It's the fear of the failure, isn't it?
Is that what comes up over and over again, Ola? The fear of failure and just getting it wrong?
Do you know what? It's really interesting you should say that, because I think equally as many people fear success.
Wow.
And so
that's true.
Being afraid of being successful is just as big as a barrier.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So I think Daniel was right. It's the fear itself.
Right.
So, you know, and I think if you're a very confident person, what fear manifests, you know, and like you said, it was an enemy, fear will find your weakest point. Mm. So if you're a very confident person, normally, mm-hmm. your fear will be, oh, but if I get so successful, then what's going to happen? You know,
yeah, what
I won't be able to look after my kids. You know, I'm going to be a different person. No one's going to, you know, I won't be able to do the, what, so that's going to be your fear. If you're, you know, if you're not very confident, then fear will manifest itself as fear of failure. I can't do that. I don't want to look like I'm going to fail.
Wow.
So wherever you know, because fear is very complex.
Yeah.
It will find the way that it can niggle through your defences
mm-hmm.
if mm-hmm. you allow it to.
Yeah.
And I think, whoever said it, fear the fear and do it anyway.
Yes.
Don't ever think that you won't be afraid.
Okay.
You shouldn't be afraid. Fear is a natural thing. It's a defense mechanism. You know, as human beings, we need to be afraid because it warns us that there's danger. It warns us there's something we should be paying attention to.
Yeah. Mm.
However, you feel the fear and then you think, well, okay, what is this telling me?
Interesting.
Is there some rationale behind it? Because clearly, you know, if you stand in front of a boa constrictor and you feel afraid,
it makes sense.
It's not your friend, is it?
Absolutely. So you have to ask that question.
Yes.
What is it trying to tell me? Is it that I'm uncertain? I'm unconfident? Why do I feel weary of this?
It's
information. It is giving you some information about you, mm-hmm. deep down how you're feeling,
right?
What you need to address. And that's the question you should be asking.
Yes,
and then move on from there. So fear the fear. Feel the fear.
Right.
It's not the enemy. Being afraid isn't bad.
Mm.
It's just information. It's just giving you some clues about, you know, what you need to be paying attention to.
I love that. That's such a great point. Particularly, as you say, fearing success. Now, what is it about success? Because we're all saying we want to be successful, we want to lead great lives. I mean, what is there to be afraid of with success? I mean, is there a genuine something to fear about being successful?
You know, with success comes responsibility.
Right.
It doesn't take much digging to find a lottery winner who won millions of pounds and just destroyed their whole life. You know,
that's
they
true.
Weren't happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so with it comes responsibility. I can remember talking to somebody years and years ago, and they said to me, "Do you know what? I deliberately failed the 11 plus so I wouldn't go to grammar school because I didn't want anyone to have any expectations of me."
Oh my gosh!
That's what I thought. I was like, "Wow,
really?
That is deep. At 11, you came to that conclusion."
I hope she didn't take that through life, because that is not great.
It was a him and he did.
Oh dear.
Absolutely.
Not great.
But yeah, because fear sets up success sets up expectations that you then project that other people are going to have on you.
Right.
And so you don't want to be successful because then people are going to demand things of you.
Mm.
And if you want to live under the radar, if you don't want your light to shine, being successful is just as bad as failing. And I think a lot of people think that they're afraid of failure.
Okay.
And actually, what they're really afraid of is their greatness. They're afraid of success.
As
the quote says, you know, it's not our smallness that frightens us, it's our greatness.
This is it.
That we're most afraid of.
Yeah, so true. So, I mean, okay, that's our own sort of inner dialogue going on there. But what about where things have been put on you? Or actually, let me go to this question. What about where we like to compare ourselves to other people? And we always tend to compare ourselves in a negative way. Think, well, I'm not as good as this person. Perhaps I shouldn't do it. You know, I mean, that's a bit of a barrier, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. It's almost as if we've got this imaginary yardstick that we construct for ourselves. You know, it's like, okay, right. Oh, it's not high enough. I'll just make it touch the moon. Oh, no, it's not high enough. I'll just go for the stars. Oh, no, it's not high enough. I'll go for heaven. That's where I'm measuring myself up against. And obviously, you're never going to reach it.
Yeah,
and then you look around at everybody else. And for some strange reason, they're all floating up there, and you think, oh, my God.
Yes.
Everyone does this, don't they? They look at everybody else and think, you are so much better than me.
It's so amazing.
You're just amazing, and you're so confident. I've got a little story. I remember years and years ago when I was very first started out at work, I was at a training course, and there was this woman there. Her name was Wendy, and I sat there, and I watched her, and I thought, oh my God, what an amazing woman. She's so confident. She looks so fantastic. She's a black woman.
Yes.
I thought, oh my God, if only I could be her. She's just going to be the most, oh, she's just fantastic. And I sat there in awe.
Yes.
And I almost didn't want to speak to her. And at the end,
really?
And towards the end, we sat down for lunch and we talked. She goes, you know, on Monday, I looked at you and thought, what an amazing woman you are. You're just fantastic. I just thought, I can't talk to you. You're just so amazing. I said, what me?
Stop.
She said, yes, look at you. And I thought, oh my God. about you.
It's just amazing, isn't it? I remember actually, I did an interview with somebody about 3 months ago, and I listened back to the interview on her website. And as she was doing this introduction, I thought, this sounds really, really good. I thought, oh my God, is she actually talking about me? Oh, it can't be me. I thought, this is really interesting, this. So yeah, absolutely. That is such a great point. And we can be in awe of people, really. And they're just like you and me. They're the same sort of insecurities.
Absolutely. And I think women are very, 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 very partial to this.
Yes.
And somebody once said that if you put 100 men in a room, each of them will be sitting there walking around thinking that they, you know, they're the most important person in the room and they're waiting for people to talk to them. And if you put 100 women in a room and they'll all be sitting there going, oh, no, I'm far too insignificant. No one's going to talk to me. I dare go up to that person.
I know.
Because women tend to do that. We do tend to kind of doubt ourselves so much. Almost as if we think we're a fake all the time. You know,
yes.
It can't possibly be good as the publicity. It can't be us. And I think that is socialization, actually. I think we're socialized into that kind of mindset.
Okay.
And it is very, very difficult to break because, you know, if you're, especially if you're a black woman,
right,
as well, I think it's true for white women, but I think it's more true for black women. If you are confident, going out there to get it, you get labeled as aggressive.
That's
you
so
get
true.
Labeled as pushy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get labeled. you do. You know, and people will start referring to you as, oh, you know, Ola, she's very, very, very forthright. And they'll use words like that,
yes,
that, you know, aren't complimentary.
No, it's not a compliment.
It's an insult.
Absolutely. Well, if you're a bloke,
yes,
they'll be saying, oh, he's very dynamic, isn't he? You know, he's out there, he's very forthright, you know.
I know.
He always gets his point across.
Yes.
And so you start to internalise that.
Mm.
And really the only way to kind of combat that is to remember that actually what the saying says, that you are magnificent, you are special, you are the greatest thing. You're not measured against anything.
Like
you
that.
Are enough.
Yeah.
You literally have to tell yourself that every day.
I was going
to
say,
just to remember it's true.
I was going to say that, Ola, actually, because it is, you know, the mindset and people actually, you know, particularly women believing that they are enough. And that, I mean, we'd spoken about this on previous shows about, you know, the confidence of women, their own image and how they're portrayed. And when it comes to making a positive influence in their careers and the choices that they make, how do they actually believe that about themselves? I mean, which is the best way to actually change that mindset and have this positive mental attitude towards that? So you do take that first step and, you know, not come across as aggressive, but actually quite forthright and quite confident rather than the negative connotations that come with that. So, I mean, what is your advice in that regard in terms of attitude, Ola?
I think basically you have to just believe that you are enough.
Right.
And bottom line, you will be labelled. You will never, ever, in the eyes of the people labelling you, be good enough. Nothing you will do ever will meet their mark.
Oh, gosh.
Because they've already decided who you are. And so therefore, you cannot allow yourself to be defined by who they think you are.
Interesting.
Because you will never meet that standard. You are never going to be good enough. Forget
good
it.
Lord.
Don't even try.
Just don't bother.
Seriously, don't even try. You're never going to make that standard.
Oh,
because it's a movable feast.
Amazing.
And they will change it. Every time you change yourself to be who you think they want you to be, they will change the goalpost.
They move the goalpost.
You have to start from knowing that who you are, the kind of person that you want to be, and do that self-reflection. You know, nobody wants to be out there and be aggressive and horrible.
No
one likes them. So you really have to be comfortable that that's not who you are, and that's not what you're trying to do.
Absolutely.
But having done that, don't define yourself by who they say you are, because who they say you are will never be who you are.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
if you try and live up to that, it's a recipe for disaster. It will get you in the end.
I can believe that.
They will weigh you down.
Yeah.
So you have to really start from knowing that you are enough. Tell yourself that every day. Surround yourself with people that love you. So that when the people who don't love you are telling you you're no good, you've got you can counterbalance it with hundreds of people who do love you and telling you you're great.
Absolutely. I love that. All right, Ola, we've got a quick break right now, but stay there because I've got another question for you. Excellent. All right.
never easy, so don't give me that excuse. It was never meant to be. You're scared of losing, so you'd rather hide the truth. But it's so obvious to me.
Ferguson there telling us to do our best. I love what Olo Egbemone is telling us. You know, don't try to please everybody because you just can't. You've got to set your own standards and go for it. Now, I want to ask you something particularly, Ola. Let's say someone has stepped out already and they've done the thing. They've gone out onto their niche and made the mistake and, you know, it's kind of all gone wrong. But as we know, failure is feedback. And so they're back in the game again. They're giving it another go. So they're having to almost reinvent themselves. Now, society likes to tell you you're kind of over the hill and you're kind of past it. So for someone that's maybe second time around or maybe third time around, you know, what advice can you give them?
In terms of reinventing yourself?
Reinventing yourself and not sort of feeling, oh, I failed the first time. Will I get it right this time, you know?
Do you know what? I always go to Edison, who invented the light bulb, and I was telling my son this the other day. You know,
yes.
life is a process of discovery.
Okay.
That's where you have to start.
Yes.
You don't have... He came up from school and he said, oh, Mum, I don't know anything. And he's been there one day.
One day? Okay.
He's done GCSE courses. He said, Mum, I don't know anything in biology. And if you knew, you wouldn't be doing the course, would you?
Exactly.
Why would you waste the time?
Mm-hmm.
And life is very much like that. It's discovery.
Yes.
And so, like you said, there's no failure. It's just feedback.
Right.
So whatever you do is going to be a process. It's going to be a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start with that mentality as opposed to... a destination that,
yes.
you know, that you've got to be there. You're going to discover it. It's going to unravel.
Yes.
And maybe where you thought you were going in the beginning turns out to be some slightly off cue because, you know, you had to correct your destination or your route.
Yes.
But back to Edison,
yes.
he did it 100 times before he found out how to make a light bulb.
Wow.
100 times before he found out how to make a light bulb because... each time he did it, it didn't work until he finally did it and it did work.
Right.
So, but if he'd given up on the 58th time, if you're giving up at the 78th time, even if you're giving up on the 98th time,
yes,
you won't have the light bulb.
Yes,
or at least you've had it made by Edison.
Mm.
So if you're restarting,
yes,
just think of it as part of the process.
Mm.
And, you know, if it ends in failure, then you're just going to restart again. It's just another way that it didn't work.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
so you're going to take the feedback. You're not going to do exactly the same thing you did last time.
No.
What's the definition of stupidity?
That one didn't work. It didn't work before.
a different result. So, yeah, so take the feedback. And remember, you can be whoever you say you are.
I like that.
Now, at the end of the day, how long did it take Jordan to become a business entrepreneur?
Wow.
Yeah, because that's who she is now. Jordan isn't known as the page-free, topless model.
She isn't.
Jordan is an entrepreneur.
Yes.
She runs businesses. That's who she decided she was going to be.
Absolutely.
Same with Judy. Started off as some clown and Big Brother.
Mm.
She died being a charity ambassador. She died being known as a mother, somebody, you know, completely different character change.
Yeah, right.
They just decided, and I use them because they were extreme examples,
mm-hmm,
of having really bad press and then deciding,
yes,
they wanted to be somebody different.
Yes.
Just decide who you want to be,
yes,
and be that person.
I like
you
that.
Know? So simple. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
it's a great point,
really,
because
really
even
point.
Like, what's her name? Vicky Beckham. You know, being in the Spice Girls, then she stepped out to do her own sort of solo career, which didn't go very well. Everyone said, oh, she was no good, she couldn't sing. But she didn't let that get in the way. And she's out there leading in fashion and respected.
Particularly for someone who's, you know, she was taken as someone that's just not serious at all.
I know.
To someone
in
who's
a girl
widely
band.
Respected now. So, really, really good example, you know. But, you know, it's another extreme case as well. But it just goes to show that that transition can be made.
It
doesn't
can
need
be
to
made.
Be so dramatic. But,
yeah.
I mean, like you say, if you want to do something, you want to be somebody, then be them.
But then, Ola,
be them.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the thing is that those kind of people that we refer to, they kind of had youth on their side, you know. What if you're kind of over 50 and society's kind of telling you, you know, well, you know, make room for the young ones coming through? Do you kind of sort of fade into the wallpaper, fade into the background? Or can you dare to reinvent yourself if you're over 50?
I'm sorry, you never hear that 50 is the new 30. How are you doing, girlfriend?
I love it. Okay, so that's the H to V.
You should see her face right now. She's smiling so much. She's so happy to hear that.
So,
you know, you're only as old as you tell yourself you are.
Okay.
You know, if you've still got all your physical health and all your strength, and your age hasn't infirmed you,
right,
you'd be who you like. And nowadays, you know, if you want to take to an extreme, get plastic surgery, but whoever you want to be.
That's an option.
It doesn't have to restrict you. If you tell yourself you're old and over the hill, then you will be.
Yes.
Because, you know,
that's
it's not really easy. You know, everybody, our society here in the West is very focused on youth. You
they
know,
are.
They don't respect elders in the way that you used to do. You know, you used to be revered as a sage when you got older.
That's
people
true.
Wanted,
mm-hmm,
you know, because when life expectancy was short, if you managed to live a long time, you know, that was something to be revered. But now,
true,
everyone's living to their 80, 90, they are, oh, you're just old focus, we're not interested in you. But you don't have to accept that.
Yes.
You know, lots of people start the life that becomes their life, what they're known for, in their late 40s, and their 50s, even in their 60s. You know, a lot of the great authors, I was listening to a biography of one of them, I can't remember who it was now, didn't start writing until they were 58.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, so you can, it's back to mindset.
Yes.
If you tell yourself you're over the hill, it's too late, there's nothing out there,
and
that's exactly what your brain will go and find for you.
Yeah, you're absolutely.
So you've asked for that.
Yeah,
you know?
You're so right.
And that's not woo-woo stuff. That's actually science. That's how your brain works scientifically. Your reticular activator looks for what you ask it for.
Ah,
so if
I like
you
that.
Say there's no failure, there's no success, that there's only failure, your brain would just say, yeah, it's true. There's nothing. I ain't got to look.
Yeah, you're so right, right. Listen, Ola, that is such great value, what you've shared with us on today's show. Let me ask you, as the curator of the list, the top 100 most influential Black people on digital and social media, obviously a woman of influence yourself, I'm thinking, what inspired you to come up with such a list?
Well, to be quite honest, Forbes publish a list every year.
Yes.
And, you know, the influential, there's loads of lists.
Yes.
And I just looking at the list, there weren't any black people on the list. There were, on Forbes' last list, there were 2 black people out of 100
people.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
I was thinking, seriously, if you did not look,
yes,
clearly black people aren't doing it.
Yes.
And I thought, it can't be the latter, because, you know, they're social media icons in nations that are run by black people.
That's so true.
People are there.
Yes.
Not just America. So I did try and make the list very global and looked at other emerging nations as well, economies as well, as opposed to just the US and the UK.
Yes.
But there were loads of them. In fact, I could quite easily have written a list of 1,000 people.
Amazing.
Well known on social media who are, you know, black of African heritage.
Yes.
You know, I particularly wanted to look for that group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, well, there's not a list, I've got my own.
You're a great example of that, which you're telling us today. Unfortunately, my time with you is pretty much gone, but do tell anyone wanted to find that list or to find out more about what you're doing, Ola, where can they find you?
Okay, you can go to my website. My website is elanmedia.com, so www.elanmedia.com. Mm-hmm. So elanmedia is 2 E's for the Elan.
Right.
And if you go to my website, there's all connections. You find me on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm always on Twitter.
Gotta love
Facebook.
That.
If you type, I'm the only Ola Agbemone online. So if you type Ola,
oh, nice and easy.
It will come up. Fabulous, fabulous. Well, Ola, I have to say thank you again for coming on the Ask Patricia show. You've really added value, and my notebook is full, and I've got lots to take away from the show. So thank you so much again, Ola.
Thank you so much again, Ola.
Great speaking to you. Lovely
to meet
you, Diane.
Take care of yourself.
Bye. Thank you to Ola Agbemone there. Find her at www.elanmedia.com. And don't forget Jo Miller, who was with us at the top of the show, BeLeaderly.com. Well, Daniel, we had a great show today, did we not?
I know, we did. Such wonderful women and really inspiring. I mean, I'm ready to walk out of here thinking, how am I going to change the world?
I'm all buzzed up.
I know. No, this is really exciting. You know, you just got, I mean, obviously for you guys, if you're listening, you know, please take this advice seriously because it's really to your own benefit. And this is something that can help in all spheres of your life. So I'm definitely going to take these notes away and do my homework.
Yeah.
Sort out my life.
And some of the homework, of course, is to go to askpatricia2000.wordpress.com because we are talking and breaking things down even more on the blog. And if you've got any ideas or you're particularly inspired, then do share what this show has done for you today. Anything that it has sparked off in you, or if you want more help, then we want to hear from you. So Daniel, that's me. What about you?
Well, you guys, you should know what you need to do by now. I mean, as Patricia says, visit the WordPress blog. You can also find myself bouncing around on Twitter at DL Drama. That's DL Drama. And you also find Patricia at AskPatricia2000. Okay, guys, you know what to do. Don't be shy. Say hi. All right?
Okay, guys, see you all next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast. My block in here.